tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, September 26, 2025 edition. As usual on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, every Friday in this hour is Pastor Rusty Chatfield bringing us a history lesson discussion. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One of the things that you do every Friday is send me a text message. And in that text message, you usually tell me the topic, the lesson plan that you plan to talk about. And I got to tell you, I did not remember this individual, Roger Sherman of Connecticut. I don't remember anything about him. Please, please let us know more about Roger Sherman from Connecticut.
Okay, let me go to some of the highlights. Roger Sherman is the only person in our history that signed the Articles of Association, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution. He was from Connecticut. He was a signer of all four documents, the only person that signed all four. He was on the committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence, along with Livingston. He was Livingston of New York, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, Ben Franklin of Pennsylvania, John Adams of Massachusetts, and of course Thomas Jefferson of Virginia. He was instrumental in a lot of those things. He was at the Constitutional Convention. He was the second oldest person. He was 66 at the Constitutional Convention representing Connecticut, while the oldest person was Ben Franklin, who was 81. He was well respected by everybody. Not necessarily did he lead, but he was on all sorts of different committees and signed a whole bunch of things. And maybe the best, and we'll talk about this eventually, I hope, he was the one who was able to negotiate the compromise between the large states and the small states at the Constitutional Convention.
And
it became known as the Connecticut Compromise. And so he was a man of many ideas and smart. He was probably the poorest person at the convention. He wasn't poor, but he was not like Washington or Madison, who had, you know, a plantation and so on and so forth.
Thomas no, he Jefferson, was a those big right, landmass right. owners. He wasn't like that.
No, he was not like that. He was a lawyer, totally self-taught though. Totally self-taught. And he ran a store. He was we could say he's brilliant, but all self-read, self-taught, maybe, or at least one of the most respected people at the Constitutional Convention.
Mm.
John Adams said that Roger Sherman was as honest as an angel.
Mm.
He said, again, John Adams said, he's as firm in the cause of American independence as Mount Atlas. Adams said, this is Mr. Sherman of Connecticut, a man who never said a foolish thing in his life. And Thomas Jefferson agreed with that, with those sentiments. Patrick Henry said that Roger Williams was the greatest statesman he ever knew. I mean, he was well-respected, although not greatly remembered today.
Yeah, Roger Sherman of Connecticut. Excellent. Good spot for a break, sir. We're going to listen to some commercials from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I've literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Folks out there that own firearms are looking to buy a new or used gun or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. We're talking with Pastor Chatfield, having a history discussion about one of our founding fathers and everything that he was involved in basically, Pastor Chatfield, the founding of our country and the only signer of all the four major documents that it basically created our country. But one of the things you mentioned, which caught my ear and I want to bring this up now before we forget. They were at a stalemate when they were at the Constitutional Convention. They were trying to get it, you know, passed so they could take it to the states for ratification. And the argument, I remember my history book telling me that they had a major fight over what type of structure the government should be, whether it's going to be unicameral, like Parliament in Great Britain, or was it going to be, you know, bicameral with, you know, Congress and Senate. And you're saying this is Roger Sherman is the one that came up with this compromise that actually appeased the convention and got those guys to agree to going ahead and passing it.
Yes, that's true. Now, and he's a man of wisdom. He was, Roger Sherman was much more of a Federalist. And he really didn't, he wanted a unicameral legislature. He wanted one house and an equal representation among all the states. He was from a smaller state, Connecticut, and that's what he wanted. But he could see that that's not what was going to happen, even though that's what he wanted. And when he came to the Constitutional Convention, he wanted to simply amend the Articles of Confederation. And by the way, that's when when the letters went out to all the delegates, the representatives of the states, that was what that is what we said. We're just going here to amend the articles. People like Madison, smartly, deviously, however you want to put it, he knew that wasn't going to happen. He was planning on starting all over and drawing up a new constitution. Roger Sherman said, "The problem with your government was not that it had acted foolishly or threatened anybody's liberties, but that it had simply been unable to enforce its decrees." In other words, he knew that we needed an executive. Somebody's got to enforce the laws. But he, like a lot of times, when you ever get to a meeting and you can see which way the wind's blowing in the meeting, when it was decided we're going to create a whole new government, and we've talked about that numerous times on your show, that, you know, upon what authority did the men of the Constitutional Convention have to throw out the Articles of Confederation? Because under the Articles, before you could change the Articles, you had to have 13 of 13 states agree to changing it. The state of Rhode Island never even sent a representative to the Constitutional Convention, so that never happened. And once they got to the Constitution, the convention in Philadelphia, same place where the Declaration of Independence was declared, would have been 11 years earlier. They said, well, it's going to take 9 of 13 states to approve of this document before it takes force. 9 of 13? First, how can you throw out the articles? You can't, not really.
But that's right. There's
a lot of things in government that happen like this. And we're thankful we have a constitution, the constitution. Because the articles was too weak, and Roger Sherman actually knew that. Now, Roger Sherman was not in favor of the people themselves directly electing anybody in the national government. He said he feared that the mass of people lack sufficient wisdom to govern themselves and thus wish no branch of the federal government to be elected directly by the people. Now, that is Madison telling us, if Madison can be trusted, which I think he can. By the way, we need to back up again. You know that we didn't learn what happened at the Constitutional Convention for 50 years.
I mean,
they all said, oh, yes, no, we are not going to. This didn't come out for 50 years. 1787 had 50 years. 1830s, I guess you have to figure it out.
1837.
We did not know anything exactly. How did we get this? So these are most of what we know about what happened at the Constitutional Convention is from Madison, because he was on top of things. He's known as the father of the Constitution. Although,
sure,
don't repeat the often quoted thing. Well, Madison wrote the Constitution. Not true. He was probably he led it in a way. He sat in the front, took notes, was most prepared. In a sense, he led it. Now, George Washington was immediately elected president to preside over it, but he didn't say that much. His presence was what was critical there. George Washington's was, but Madison was brilliant and kept good records. But he didn't get everything he wanted either. Roger Sherman didn't get everything he wanted. There was a big debate whether or not the people should vote for the people of the United States should vote for anything. In other words, as you know, originally our Constitution had it that the senators from each state would be elected by the state legislatures of the various states. The only people that the only government officials that the people voted directly on were the members of the House of Representatives. And Roger Sherman didn't like that because he didn't trust the people.
Sure.
A lot of people didn't trust. Alexander Hamilton didn't trust the people. Now, on the other side, Thomas Jefferson did more trust the people. He was more, and Madison, and not quite as much as Jefferson. But Jefferson says, hey, let's... And so there was always this debate between how close to democracy should we be and how close to a more structured, I'm not going to call it a monarchy, but some of the suggestions of Alexander Hamilton, he wasn't totally opposed to some sort of limited monarchy. He wasn't so opposed. And by the way, the Jeffersonians, the Democratic Republicans, and sometimes known just as Republicans, when the party started forming, they started calling those that followed Hamilton and George Washington and Adams, especially after George Washington was off the scenes, they called them monarchists. These guys want a monarchy, as is the tendency today in politics. You paint your opponent as extreme as you can. You paint them very extreme.
Sure.
So Jefferson, he was pointing, hey, these guys want to bring back the monarchy. Hamilton didn't. Roger Sherman didn't, but they didn't. They wanted a more structured government. So Roger Sherman would have been known as he supported the Washington administration. He would have been more of a Federalist, as where Jefferson was more of what we would call a Republican. Now, here's what happened. The Constitutional Convention was on the verge of falling apart. As you've heard me read the speech by Ben Franklin, he says, let's stop, let's call on prayer, and... you know, when we were in this place 11 years ago, we were constantly praying, asking God to help us during the Revolution. And then Ben Franklin says, have we forgot that kind friend? Or do we think now that we don't need his aid? So he says, let's stop in prayer. It was Roger Sherman who was the first one who spoke up and seconded the motion of Ben Franklin on that motion. From now on, let's have prayer to begin every session of Congress. As a matter of fact, they went off for 3 days. They all went to church. They came back. They prayed. And it was then that Roger Sherman pushed what is known as the Connecticut Compromise. Let me tell you this. So he really didn't. He argued back during the Articles of Confederation, and I think during the convention, Constitutional Convention, why do we need two houses? I've often wondered that myself. What's the point of that? Why have now? But now he saw the benefit of it. So he is the one that said, okay, even though he was a more of a strong government man as compared to people on the other side, like Mason and so on, he said, let's compromise. Larger states will have one house called the lower house, the House of Representatives, in which representation will be based on population. Smaller states, the plans, in case you care about this, the Virginia plan wanted equal representation. So Roger Sherman says, larger states, look, you can, the larger state is, I just misspoke. Larger states wanted representation based upon population. The more people you had, the more representatives you got in Congress. Okay, that was the Virginia plan. So, he says to them, we'll have a House of Representatives. The more people you have, the more representatives you have. Okay. Then he said to concerning the New Jersey plan, which is a small state, he says, smaller states, here's what you get. We'll have a Senate in which there'll be two senators from each state, regardless of size, two senators. And that is known as the Great Compromise. It's known as the Connecticut Compromise. And sometimes you could even call it, if you really wanted to, the Roger Sherman Compromise. You could make this argument that Sherman was as pivotal, as important of a person at the convention as anybody, because he settled this great debate. That was the major issue, the major issue at the Constitutional Convention. The other major issue was, how would slaves, black people in the South, how would they be represented? Okay. And he had a hand in that too. Sherman said he was with most of the people from the North. No, they're not represented in Congress. Why? Because you've made slaves out of them. Now, people from the South said, whoa, no, they're people. I mean, this is, doesn't make sense at all. But they would say, no. They, for every black person that's a slave, or as our Constitution uses this phrase, persons held to service. The word slavery is not in our Constitution, but we know what they meant when it said persons held to service. The South said, let's they'll be counted in the census if, as far as representation. And the North said, why should we count them? They have no freedom. And that was a big argument. That was the second biggest argument. Roger Sherman helped craft what is known as the Three-Fifths Compromise, in which the slaves were counted as three-fifths of a person. And people look back at that and say, well, how could you go along with that? Like a lot of things in life, Roger Sherman and people that hated slavery as he did knew we weren't going to get an agreement. We weren't going to get 13 colonies to go along with this Constitution if we obliterated slavery. By the way, when Thomas Jefferson, go back 11 years, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he chastised British slavery, even though Jefferson had slaves. Then it came to the Committee of Five, and they says, we don't think this is going to fly. And it came to the Committee of the Whole, and it wasn't going to fly. In other words, South Carolina, Georgia, in particular, said, no way. We're not going to include slavery in this Declaration of Independence. And so they had to edit it out. Same thing's true with the Constitution. They had to get rid of it. They had to get rid of it. Although everybody there could see the evil of slavery. I think everybody in 1787. But they didn't know what else to do. Nobody at the Constitutional Convention, even if they hated and believed that slavery was wrong, could go back to their constituents in South Carolina or Georgia or North Carolina and say, hey, everybody's going to have to let go of their slaves. The thing wasn't going to work. So it was a compromise to leave slavery in the Constitution. Now, as we know, as I think it was Jefferson who called it a fire bell in the night, and you'd see eventually this is going to come to a head, and it took a lot of years, but it did, as we know. Now, let me just say this about slavery. By the 1850s, there were apologists for slavery. They were just saying, it's an evil, we've got it, we don't know what to do about it. I'll stop there, I hear the music.
Yep, bottom of the hour news break, perfect spot for it. Hold that thought, past Jeff, Phil, we'll pick it up right there. Bottom of the hour news break, we'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.